Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Talking about watching and then praying. Says, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. Remember, he says, watch and pray. And I will set me upon my tower and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And it's what he says, what I see, that I will pray. So I watch to see in order to be able to pray. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, this one I want to share on something that, you know, came to me, even though I knew it mentally. But the real significance of this principle dawned on me a few weeks ago when I was, you know, believing God for something. And I had heard even Kenneth Copeland say this, that when he was believing God for something and confessing the scriptures and calling those scriptures from memory and confessing them, that Jesus told him that it was important that he went to those scriptures that he was confessing and that he began to start rereading and looking into those scriptures. That there is something that happens in your soul when you start reading and rereading the scriptures that you already know that you might be standing upon. Now, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, I'll start with that. Galatians chapter 3 and from verse 5. So it says to us that he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. Now, the word ministereth is in present continuous tense. So he's saying, he therefore that is ministering to you the Spirit, pouring out his Spirit, and that's Jesus, and worketh miracles. So it's present continuous, and is working miracles amongst you. How is he doing it? So he pours out his Spirit, and then through that, he performs the impossible amongst you. How is he doing it or getting it done? Is it by the works of the law? That is he getting it done in the lives of people that are strict adherents to the law, which means keeping the commandments? Or is it getting it done in the lives of people that understand the principle of the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham, that is the people that follow the pattern of Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So he says, he that ministers the Spirit, and by that is working miracles amongst you, he is doing it in the lives or through people who are even as Abraham believed God. That is following after the pattern of Abraham, as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. They also believe God, and it is imputed, and God is able to work in their midst. So he ministers the Spirit, and he is doing that, right, because it's Jesus. I mean, John said, I baptize you with water, but another is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not baptize anybody with the Holy Spirit while he was on the earth. It was after his ascension that the baptism or the outpouring of the Spirit started. So what John said only started happening after the ascension. So it's Jesus that ministers the Spirit and works miracles in our midst, which means by the Spirit. The Spirit is the person who produces the miracles or works the supernatural. In the life of Jesus, while he was on the earth, he did not do any miracle until there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was after the fullness of the Spirit came into Jesus that we began to see signs and wonders in the life of Jesus. So he tells us that, you know, these works that I do, shall you do also? And you will even do greater works than these, because I go up to my Father who is in heaven. And that when you ask, I will do it. I will pour out of my Spirit when you ask in my name. And the same Spirit that did it in me will carry out his work on the inside of you. So what I want to look at is the even as Abraham, which means how did Abraham go about his business on the earth? How did he believe God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness? For if we believe God in that same way, follow that same pattern, it tells us we will obtain the ministry of the Spirit and we will have miracles, the supernatural, worked out within our lives. So Romans chapter 4 gives us, opens this up unto us. Romans chapter 4, it tells us about Abraham in verse 6, 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, the Bible says in verse 22, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But how did Abraham get to this point? If we look at verse 12, it tells us, and the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps. Now, these are the steps we want to look at. In the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So they walked in the steps of that faith of our father, Abraham. So Abraham had certain steps he walked in. And the scripture says that Jesus will minister the Spirit and work miracles in and through the people who walk after those same steps. Now, what are these steps here? It tells us in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all of his seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that which is also of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. Now, what did God do? God who quickened the dead, God who calleth those things that be not as though they were. Then it tells us about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. So we start seeing Abraham's activity, that against hope, which means that he believed that something was going to happen against all hope. So he was confronting a hopeless situation. This was against all hope. And you only need miracles, or you only need God to work the supernatural when something is unachievable, all right, in our own humanity. When as far as our own humanity is concerned, we cannot attain or reach that particular level, then God is the one that now, that's where we have the supernatural. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is in this business. He ministers His Spirit, and He produces the supernatural within our lives. Against all hope. In other words, He constantly, because it's a present continuous thing, against all expectation, against all hope, He wants an emergence of events, emergence of things in our lives that people around will consider that this cannot be done. It is against that hope that He believed in hope that He might become a father of many nations. According to what which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, what did He do? He being not weak in faith, He decided that He will consider not His own body. So Abraham made a first decision. I'm going to consider not. To consider not means I'm not going to look, I'm not going to focus, I'm not going to be consumed, I'm going to withdraw all of the attention I am giving to my own body that is now dead, which is about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He stopped looking at that. And he staggered not, which means by looking at that, he will have staggered, at the promise of God. The promise of God was the evidence that God had given to him, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the promise was the evidence that God had given to him that he was going to be a father of many nations. So he decided that he will start considering that, that he will start looking at that. And he didn't stagger through unbelief, but then he was strong in his faith, or strengthened, giving glory unto God. And then by that, he became fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And so he believed unto righteousness, and righteousness was imputed. Now, what I want to show today is simply this. I'll write it down, I wrote it down, and then I'll explain. And this came from a personal experience of, you know, believing God for something. Now, what I want to show is this, that when believing God for what we know to be His will, in other words, God has made an offer to you as a person in a situation, the same way He made it for Abraham, and He said He quickened the dead, quickened Abraham in that situation by calling it as though it were, making an offer. I have made you a father of many nations. And God starts out, wherever situation we find ourselves, God wants to make an offer. He wants to give us the evidence of things that are not seen in that particular situation, which means He wants to provide to us, provide for us there the evidence of what He is going to do. He wants to show us. And we need to understand that God is the aggressor here. Many a times we don't want to go to God. You know, the Bible tells us, right, that we should take heed unto the word of God, understanding this, that the prophets did not speak according to the will of man, but as they were moved by the Spirit. In other words, to hear from God and to gain God's offer in any situation, you've got to set aside just momentarily what you think should happen in that particular situation. Your own personal will, how you feel it should happen. And many times we don't want to do this. And the reason why we don't want to do this is that somewhere inside us, we feel that God, you know, either doesn't really understand what is going on, you know, or God's offer will not be really substantial. Now, we've got to understand that all these things we say we are believing God for, all these things that are desires and yearnings in our heart, those things were placed there by God. They were not placed there by us. Somebody says, well, I want to believe God, I want to get married. The idea of marriage didn't come from you. The idea of getting married didn't come from man. It was God in the first place that said it's not good for a man to be alone, and said, I will make a helpmeet for him. So these are things that God Himself offered man. He is the one that has said that this is my presentation to man. Man had no knowledge of these things. Now we take these desires and now run with them. Even hunger. When a person says, I want to, he's God that placed it there. And there's no sense there of hunger in this monitor. God could have created robots who will not, you know, have any feeling that I want to eat. It's God that placed it inside. So God understands us. I mean, it's God that put work there. You say, what about my work? It's God that put work there. It's God that said there's no man to till the ground, right? And he says, let rain fall so we can create, so things will be easy. It's God that came and said after man sinned and told him that, look, you're going to have problem with your work. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. And the same God says, you know, in Abraham now I have, this Abraham was speaking about, I have broken that curse and you might receive the promise of the Spirit, which is the blessing. So God is interested in our work. Work was something that God designed. If it was man, I'm sure man won't design work. You understand? We're just designed to have leisure. All right? It's God that did all of these things. It's God that brought the idea of blessing you. It's God that took Abraham and said, I will make your name great. It wasn't Abraham that thought that up. It's God that came across and said, be fruitful, multiply. Is God that put on the inside of us the desire to have dominion and mastery over our environment. All these things came out of God. All right? So these things is God that man will have adjusted, let me tell you this, to playing with animals. If God did not say, look, I'm creating you my image, and you know you're going to have dominion. That thing to dominate was placed in us by God. A man will adjust to slavery if God didn't say, listen, I have come to set the captives free. It's God that said, I will set the captives free. I mean, man will adjust to sickness. People don't believe in some place that God heals, and they adjust to it. It's God that said, I am the God that healeth thee, that introduced himself as Jehovah Rapha to man, that this is what I do. I forgive of all iniquities, and I heal of all diseases. It's God that said, I will deliver you from all your fears and all of your destruction. Right? One time I asked Reverend Emeka, I said, well, you know this prosperity thing people say, and he told me, he said, you need to understand prosperity wasn't our idea. It's God that came and told Abraham, I will bless you. Is God that communicated, I will make you rich. So these things there is coming from God. It's not a man's dream, you know, to be rich. It's God that put it inside, if we understand it. All right, he told me, he said, look at Solomon. Solomon prayed to God and said, just give me wisdom. It's God that started all this issue of, I will give you wealth. It's God that came through and said, I'm going to make you wealthier than any other king and all of that. So these things that we run away from God, thinking that God might not really understand, if we go to him there, God is the one. It's God that put in man to have children. If we go to him, God will make us that offer. And in making us that offer, he quickens us, which means that we are quickened by the offer that he makes. He gives us a new dream. He says, look, this is the picture that I'm painting. This is the dream. We are quickened, and that's what he did, all right, to Abraham. So the first thing we've got to understand is this, that if we, when believing God for what we know to be his will, that's not difficult. If you take anything to God, he will show you, he will give you the evidence, all right, of things that are not seen, that as far as he's concerned, he's calling those things, all right, in your own life as though they are. He will give you the evidence of things that are not seen concerning that area in your life. And that's the starting point of faith, which means there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken unto you by the Lord. So when believing God for what we know to be his will, we start declaring, which is right, it as a fact within our lives. We start calling it into existence as though it were, with a voice of thanksgiving, thanking God. However, this is what God showed me. That it is important that we read and that we continuously read those scriptures that show us what God or where God promised those things. That is, it is important that throughout the entire process, throughout, right? And I was confessing for something. I was declaring the word of God. And I would get up in the morning and I had the confession and I would make the confession. God said, look, you know this thing. Why are you letting this thing sleep? Right? Go to those scriptures. And they're just somewhere in us, in man. And it's all about pride. And maybe we think spiritual things are like natural things. That once you mentally understand 1 + 1 = 1, you don't have to read it again. But with spiritual things there, all right, the knowledge of God is, the revelation of God is progressive. It's only religion that is static. You know, somebody said, no new ideas come into religion. He was arguing that, I saw this on television. And they're right. And he was saying religion is not good because no new ideas. So you know, when new ideas begin to come, you know, you religious people, you religious folks and all that. But you see, with God, you know, he brings fresh ideas to the table there. It's religion that says this is it, there's nothing more. Right? He tells us that the path of the just is as a light that shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Progression, revelation is progressive. The entrance of the word giveth light, but that light shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. It tells us this, you do well to take heed unto this light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the day star, which means the light is growing and developing on the inside of us. New ideas are coming to that truth. It is expanding. It is growing on the inside. So we start out, you know, by making the confessions, but we've got to continuously read those scriptures that present that evidence. Going back, two scriptures that you know promised you the thing, and this is what he emphasized, and rereading them will bring about fresh insight that will be the game changer in that situation. Which means that as you start believing God, going back to those scriptures, rereading those scriptures, fresh insight will come that will be the game changer. Then he said to me, do not make the mistake. He said, here is where a lot of people are making the mistake. And he showed me, said, in your church, you're coming out here, you are strong on one. You need to emphasize the other one. Now, people might know it, but you need to emphasize it, is what we're saying. Don't make the mistake of believing and confessing things without constant eye contact. Let me repeat. Don't make the mistake of believing and confessing things without constant eye contact with the scriptures that promise you those things. That is constant eye contact with the evidence that God has given to you in the scripture. Where do we see that? Proverbs chapter 4. Right? We'll take this line upon line, precept upon precept. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. So start listening to them as you declare them. Then he said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Very important. Simple steps. So profound. We'll see this. Let them not depart. Continuous eye contact from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The word health there means medicine, which means it's like you are taking the word of God as medicine. So a person goes to a medical practitioner and says, here are symptoms. The medical practitioner says, take this tablet 1-3 times a day for 5 days. After 5 days, come back. We'll see what and see what is happening. Now, what we really do in Christianity is that the first day we see the revelation, right? This is a journey consistent. We see the revelation. We take 5 tablets that day. Then after, we don't do anything again. And then after 5 days, Jesus, what's going on? Now, he said there are 2 sides to this. I want to show this quickly. He said there is that side where you hold fast your confession. But then There is the side that you consider, which means your eyes are on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, which means your eyes must be on the evidence that I have given to you in the world that shows you that this thing, that is a combination of both, all right, that will bring about the manifestation of that truth within your life.
Thank you for listening.